this journey right now where we spent 2 weeks saying, man, all my stuff, God, is that I have is yours. And many of us have come to a place where we're willing to say, okay, all this stuff, I brought it out of my pockets, all that I am. I've actually got myself up on the table and just recognize that, God, I'm surrendered to you. All this stuff is yours. And now the second step in the process in our spiritual journey, by the way, this is not just for Crazy Campaign. This is every single thing in your life. This journey goes with everything you and I work with. Is now, God, let me hear from you. Is there any stuff here that you want back? How do I hear from God? How do I know what God wants from me? In my work life, in my relationships, in my family life, in my financial life, and everything. How do I know? That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would help us to hear you today. Many of us have never heard you, or we haven't been sure if that was your voice or not. And maybe for the first time today, we might hear you, or at least get some tools or some translators to help us understand what you're saying to us. Would you please speak to us today through everything that is said and perceived? And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Hey babe, I'm home. Hey babe, I'm home. Ew, you watching soap operas again? Ew, you watching soap operas again? Ew, you watching
Lindsay's soap got some homework. Do you think you can help her tonight?
Lindsay's got some homework.
Are we doing dinner tonight? Are we doing dinner tonight? Do you want me to get something to go? Do you want me to get
carry out?
What's the matter with you? Can't you just be happy?
Well, Beth and Jeff, what happened there?
For me, that was November of 2001, and I was severely depressed. I was not functioning, and for me, life was spent in that chair most of the time. And I made a call for help and was entered into a treatment program where the first week I was diagnosed with manic depression or bipolar disorder. I had to come to terms with an eating disorder. And also had to deal with some sexual abuse issues from my childhood. Mm. So that was a pretty rough first week. And
I think I qualify as a rough week.
And also my husband that same week admitted to me his problem with pornography.
I had struggled with sexual addiction from the time I was a teenager. And, you know, when I came married, you know, thought that would all just kind of go away. And it didn't. And actually, then it just basically took away from any kind of intimacy that she and I could have because, you know, I was looking elsewhere for that intimacy.
Now, a lot of people, you know, use that, use it with their spouses or whatever, and would say, "What's the big deal?" And you found that
it just completely took away from any intimacy that we had. You know,
it's like she couldn't meet my expectations,
and you know, she didn't know about it. It was hidden, and you know, no one knew about it.
So how did you work through a healing process on this stuff?
It was like a 2-year process. We had outside counseling, but also Crossroads was a huge help in that recovery process. For me, I'm involved. I have an A-team with some wonderful women that, you know, I could share with. And they just gave me tons of support and love. And I felt no shame and was not judged. And also just the atmosphere here. It's okay to need help. I mean, you talk about counseling or, you know, from the stage. So I wasn't perfect, and I could admit that and seek help. And that was okay. It was, you know, I wasn't weak for doing that.
And I had similar experiences, you know, from the stage, the messages, and that, you know, that the pornography, that's wrong. But then from the same standpoint, you know, hey, I'm a real person, and this is a real place for real people. And I felt comfortable being able to, finally, I was able to feel comfortable sharing that with my wife and confessing that to her.
I remember when you came in, I saw you one day back in Kids Club, yep. And you said, "Hey, it's great to be part of a real place for real people." I had no idea what you meant at that time. What you meant was, it's great to have a place where I can be real with my stuff, but then also, it's not okay for me to stay where I am.
Right.
Exactly.
That I need to be challenged and be willing to be uncomfortable to be able to grow. And and you guys have really completely come to a different place.
Yes.
Exactly.
Totally.
So you come to a Crazy Campaign. We start talking about Crazy Campaign. What's your thoughts when you first started hearing about that?
Initially, we had been here for the first go-round of the Crazy Campaign. It was like, oh, no, we're doing this again. Because the first time we gave all we had. We had no savings left, that type of thing. But a friend of mine in my A-team, the Facellis, Jill, was talking about in January, they had just sold their home and were downsizing and giving the money to Crossroads. And I was just blown away by it. I mean, they had already done that. They had closed whatever. And it was God really spoke to us through them. I came home and I said, "You will not believe what they've just done." And so it got us thinking, you know.
What should we do? And at that point in time, you know, I had been looking for probably a year to start a new store. And it's a dry clean. I have a dry cleaning store. And I've been thinking for a year.
You're very clean and nappy, too. And, you know, aren't they natty or nappy, whatever it's called? Yes.
So, you know, I've wanted to start another store, do another location. But it was all about me. And it was all about money and, you know, increasing the funds coming in. And it was just, you know, it was all about me. Mm. And after I heard her story, I was like, wow, you know, this is something that we could do for God. This could be, you know.
Why would you want to do that? What would lead you to do that?
Well, from what we have received, the healing and just the support, we want other people to have that too. Mm. And we want, you know, space for people to come and so they can have the same healing that we've received.
So as you've gone through this whole process, you find out, you put all your stuff up on the table,
yep. Mm-hmm.
And you felt like the thing that God was asking you to do was this business. Describe what that means as far as a financial thing.
Well, we're going to do, basically, we're just going to keep it simple, and we'll pay all our employees, pay our bills, all that kind of stuff, and then whatever's left over, you know, God can have whatever's left. So any profit, basically.
So the first 3 years profit of your new business all goes.
That's the plan. That's what we're going to do.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How did you hear from God in this? That's what we're talking about today. How do you hear?
Right.
For us, journaling is a big part. As far as prayer, we get so distracted when you just kind of individually sit down and your mind kind of wanders and you go off track. So we write down a lot. And any insights or promptings or thoughts that come in, we write those down. And Jeff has a couple to share from his journal.
I got a couple that Saturday morning I was up and early journaling and just thinking about things. And I started to think, let's read back. You know, let's go back and see what did I pray about earlier on. And this was before Thanksgiving, actually, of last year. And I just write it like this. Dear God, Beth was very honest with me last night and realizes that she and I have come through a very significant period in our lives. We need to continue to focus on you. But more importantly, how can we use these experiences to help others? And how can the store also be used to influence people for you?
That was in November.
Before you knew anything about the campaign or anything.
Yeah.
Or having
you'd
to get up
kind
here.
You'd already kind of started the store up before that, actually.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And this was in February. This was just before we were going to put an offer in on the store. I woke up at this unbelievable, like 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that.
How did you wake up, man? Jeff?
Well, actually, I think God woke me up through my wife.
We now
in an
have
intimate moment.
You know, what does that mean? I don't understand what that means.
Yes, James.
They seem to be laughing, so they must understand.
Okay.
We'll talk to you later. Right.
So Beth wakes you up and you're
okay,
up.
Okay, right. Here, dear Lord, I'm up at this unbelievable hour to meet you, but it's as if it's the middle of the day. Everything I have is because of you. I'm about to embark on an idea by making an offer on this building that will change my family's life forever. I know you set this up, for I wouldn't have driven up that road if it wasn't for you. I will follow you and do what you want. This next page is all yours. I'm done babbling and misspelling words. I give my entire life to you. Use me to do as you wish. You fill in the rest. I love you, Jeff.
And a blank page.
It's been lining things up ever since.
Ever since.
It's quite an adventure and journey when you really do go through a process that God, just speak to me, all your stuff is yours.
Exactly.
Any counsel you'd have for us who are maybe not as far along on this whole thing as you are?
One thing that was real critical in my recovery process was a verse that just says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And God promises if we come to him, he'll show up. And so just take in that time and expect that he will be there to meet you if you will seek him. And that was just real basic for me.
Let me pray for you guys right now, okay? God, thank you for the incredible courage that these guys have undergone to be here in front of us, sharing us their most intimate, dark issues from their past. And we thank you that those things are from the past now. Thank you for what you've done in their life, and I pray that all of us can learn from what you've done in their hearts today. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Hey, let's thank these guys for being bold today and sharing their story. Well, I think we're starting to realize that this really is a spiritual journey. We're starting to sense what God is doing in our midst and in our lives. And I've been getting, the church has been getting emails from people who have been investing that $60,000 worth of cash that we sent out of here the very first week. The idea of surrendering that up, and that's God's and us having to go out and put that into somebody else's life. And here's the interesting one that came back from somebody. Our 6-year-old son used $30 to buy bagels and donuts to sell at school and around the neighborhood in hopes of doubling the money for Crossroads. Now, we specifically said it's not allowed to come back to Crossroads, but since he's a 6-year-old, we'll cut him some slack. We wanted to do something that involved our son and to help explain the crazy campaign to him, how we all need to do our part. Sam now knows about the plans to expand the church. He was also able to show his friends, classmates, and neighbors how important his church is to him. This is a fun thing the whole family is working on together. So Sam, age 6, he started with $30 and he's made $98.20. 6-year-old, you know. That's a kid you want to watch. You know, those of you who want to invest in somebody as they get older, that's a kid you want to watch and invest in. And there's been other cool stuff happening. One of my favorite stories is someone knows somebody who just had a tracheotomy and bought them art supplies and felt that was a way to bless them and build into them. And God's doing something really cool in this whole thing. And how do we know what God is doing in us? How do we know what God is asking all of us to do? I want to take a look at one of the best stories in the Bible of what it means to hear from God. How do you listen to hear from God? And this story takes place in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. And the setting is that there's a guy by the name Eli, who is kind of the spiritual guru of the nation of Israel. And he's in the temple. He's in the place where people would worship God. And he's got a little kid who's there with him. His name is Samuel. And let's take a look at this story. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, he was lying down in his usual place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down, and again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lay down." This is the very beginning moments when God starts to tangibly work in Samuel's life. This is the moment where he starts coming in and invading his world. You know, a lot of us, we're not even sure what we would call ourselves. We call ourselves Christ followers. We call ourselves seekers. We call ourselves, you know, growing Christ followers. We're not really sure, you know, where we are. But there's nothing that cements the fact that you really want to have a relationship with God, like when you hear from him and when you go further. And so what Eli does is he finally realizes, oh man, you know, what's happening here is this boy is probably hearing from God. How do you hear from God? Four things. Number one, you hear from God in silence. You hear from God in silence. We need silence. Eli is now going to mentor Samuel. And here's how it describes Samuel. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. You know, we can call ourselves any title we want. We can do any number of religious, spiritual things that we want. But there is nothing like the first time God reveals himself to you, when he actually speaks to you, and then you actually do something with that that actually cements the deal. And so Samuel is doing a lot of religious things. He's in a religious place, but he's not yet heard from God. He's not had that moment where he said, oh man, God has spoken. And so what Eli says to him is this. He says, son, I think I understand what's happening with you, because this has happened with me before. Here's what happens. Go back and go to sleep. And if you get woken up again, it might be God. And what you say to God is say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Try that if that happens again. And so here's how the story continues. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. You want to know what fires God up? Nothing fires God up more than people saying to him, speak, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, your surrendered servant, listen, speak. I'm putting myself up on the table. I am like saying all my stuff is yours. And so speak, speak, I'm listening. When God hears that, God knows that we want relationship. When he hears that, he knows that we're not all about religion. It's about relationship. Nothing fires him up more than that. And there needs to be a level of silence for that to happen so we can hear God and not other things. How about when you're at work? Do you ever like try to get somebody on the intercom or on the phone, you know, and you realize that some people always, their phone rings once and then you get kicked into voicemail. It's because they had the perpetual do not disturb button on. And I don't know if they, you know, they forgot to take it off or what. I know some people who are on our staff, I think just forgot about the thing. It's probably super glued down. It's like I'm like, oh man, you know, it's really bothersome, isn't it? What's the way we are with God, many of us? We put the do not disturb button on with God and they say, God, don't disturb me. I know what I do, and I got my task list, I've got my agenda, I've got my career path, I've got my relational plans, I got my financial plans, I got my occupational, my entertainment plans. I am in the zone, God, I know where I'm going. Really, don't disturb me. Don't disturb me. Now, we don't really say don't disturb me, but the way we live our life, when we don't stop and say, speak, your servant's listening, that's what we're saying to God. And then, once we hit the wall, all of a sudden then we want to disturb God. God, help me, help me, help me, help me. We weren't listening. We weren't interested in him speaking before. We hit the wall and all of a sudden we're up for him speaking to us. Many of us in here, we hit the do not disturb button. And then there's others in here who kind of use this, one of these little pieces. You got one of these for your cell phone, you know, one of these little earpiece things here, you know. I have one of these, obviously, because I'm using one right now. And this is how bad I am. I got problems. I got problems in a lot of areas. I especially have cell phone problems. I mean, I'm so bad that I'll have this little earpiece in, and even when I'm not on the phone, I'll just kind of walk around with it in, you know? I need, like, to get a life. When you have, you know, you're doing that, you need to like, get a life. But there's a positive thing about this, and what that is what I'm saying, or if you're saying, if you do this, you know, dysfunctional behavior as well, is that you're saying, hey, look, whatever I'm doing, someone wants to get through to me, I'm ready. Well, call me. I'm ready. And there's some people in their relationship with God, no matter where they are, they have their little earpiece in. They're saying, God, you want to call me? You want to text message me? You want to do anything right? I'm ready. I'm ready. Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. And will we be in that place where we'll be willing to say to God, God, speak. Speak. This is the choice that you and I make every day. Will I take time in silence to say, God, speak to me? And one of the reasons why we don't do silence is because we're afraid of what we might actually hear. One of the reasons why we're always talking, one of the reasons why we don't like to take times where there's nothing in our ears, is because we're too afraid what we might hear about ourselves. We're too afraid being with ourselves. We're too afraid what God might actually say to us. God also speaks to us in the context of community. Maybe in the midst of this place right now, something was said that you're like, oh man, I think God just sent me a message. Because something was said, you're in the context of community. Sometimes I'll be in a meeting and somebody will say something and it's like the Red Sea just opened. I said, man, God just used that person and said something that is so true. And so when Samuel goes before God and says, God, speak, your servant listens, he hears something he doesn't like. What he hears is that Eli, as the spiritual leader of Israel, has been negligent in his duties. He has not been honoring God. He has not been managing his household well. His sons have gotten way, way out of control. And what God basically says to Samuel is, Eli's run is done. And this is not stuff that Samuel wants to hear. But Eli wants to know. He wants to know, what is God saying to you? Because if I know what God is saying to you, it might help me know what God is saying to me. And so here's how the story continues. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely. If you hide from me anything he told you. This is basically what Jeff and Beth did today. They were revealing to us what God revealed to them. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said, well, he's the Lord. Let him do what's good in his eyes. This is a very cool interaction. You got a picture of the scene. I don't know how old Samuel is, a 12-year-old or something. Got a guy who may be 70. And they're in community and they're sharpening each other. You know, Eli is helping Samuel understand how to hear from God. And then Samuel hears from God and he's got something that Eli actually needs to hear. And we need each other to really know what God is saying to us. This is critical. We saw a really cool thing that God did in community last week. And is that the service, the 10-20 service? I mean, those of us who are here, you know what I'm talking about. We did this thing years ago where we wrote the names of our friends on green posts that are behind these walls, saying, God, would you please use this place to bring our friends into relationship with you and maybe through this place. And we bashed through one of the walls and Libby and I found behind on this pole all these names that were on this. And we kind of had them up on the screen. And we should have thought, but should have been more wise. We should have told a couple of those people that they were on the pole. They didn't know. And so one of Libby's friends was sitting over here and she had no clue about this at all. And since we came here, God's really invaded her world. And so she sees her name up on this post. You can imagine it just kind of rocked her world. So she ended up storming the stage and giving Libby a hug. It was a very cool thing. God did something there. But then God continued to do things beyond that. I got these emails the next week. Here's one of them. Woman in bright sun. I can honestly say that I'm confused. I want to grow in my faith, and I was at the 10:20 service this morning. I was sitting directly in front of this woman when you were uncovering the beam where her name was written. I cried as I listened to Libby's story about her friend. She was sobbing right behind me, and I cried even more. Then I turned to my friend, and I asked her if she had written my name on a beam. She looked at me through tears in her eyes, smiled, and said, yes, she had. I think maybe God was trying to tell me something. I think so too. I think so too. God speaks to us in the context of community. And as you and I walk through this thing of life of saying, should I put myself up on the table? Should I surrender all my stuff to God? And then once I surrender it all, God, is there anything that you want? We need other people to help us. Because when we hear what somebody else, God's asking somebody else to do, we might say, oh wow, that's very similar. I had not thought of that before. Maybe God's telling me to do that. And you got to be very careful here when you do this. Because, you know, if you were like this on the table, like yesterday, I stood completely on the table. You know, if you're completely on the table, or if you're kind of part of you on the table, you need to make sure you find other people that are on the table or in the process of getting on the table. Because if you're on the table and somebody is over here and you end up sharing with them what you think God is hearing, they will be very threatened by that, and they will say, oh, no, come down off that table. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's stupid for you to think. Come down off the table. You've got to be very discerning as to who to be in community with and share what God might be speaking to you about. But we need each other. We need that. And also, we need clear written words, because things that, you know, I hear in silence or things that I hear from other people, those can be very open to subjective opinion. There's nothing like clear written words. And that's the third way that God actually speaks to us. God speaks to us in the Bible. Speaks to us in the Bible. I hope that you've been doing the prayer journal, taking every tool we have this for the spiritual journey. If you haven't been doing that, bad on you. Go get one. If you don't have one, go out there in the atrium and go to the media center and get one of those free journals. I was working through it this last week and it's been helping me a lot. And one of the cool things it said in there was the scripture verse, lean not on your own understanding. And that's really what God does. He says there's certain things that we all need to know that are applicable to all people in all times. And I'm going to write these down. They're objective. Take them to the bank. That's what it is. And don't lean just on your own understanding of what you think I'm saying is. Check it against these things that are always right. And I've been such a clear communicator that I've written it down. This last summer, I was going through reading some scriptures and writing some stuff in my journal. And I ran across this really interesting story. And the story is King David. He has something intense happen in his life, and he wants to go before God, and he wants to worship God, and he wants to give God something in the context of worshiping him. And one of the things that they would regularly do back in the world at that time is they would sacrifice animals and say, I'm going to sacrifice these animals, and these animals are an expression of how much I care for you. Now, I'm not recommending that today. Please understand. I'm not saying you need to do, you know, animal sacrifice. If you've got a guinea pig, I think that'd be okay. If you wanted to sacrifice that, I don't think God would mind about that. You know, or a cat or something like that. You know, just get you going. Relax, you know. I'm just totally going for cheap thrill there. Relax. Please, I'm not. Don't be doing that. That stuff doesn't work anymore. It was, you know, something that was back then, but don't do it anymore. But here's the point. David was wanting to give something to God. And so he asked this guy where he was. He saw some cattle and stuff. And he said, hey, do you mind if I, you know, buy some stuff from you here? And the guy said, oh, man, I've heard about you. You've got this incredible reputation. It would be my honor to just give this to you. Let me just give this stuff for you, and then you can offer up a sacrifice to God. And here's what David says. David says, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice the Lord my God offerings that cost me nothing. What David is saying is here is, when I put myself up on the table and I want to give myself to God, that means I've got to give myself. And if it doesn't cost me anything, I'm not really giving anything to God. You know, I need to give God my best. When you're in a relationship with God, one of the things that you want to do is you want to give him your best. And every time you give anybody your best, it will cost you something. Every single time. If you're in a season of your ministry or a season of your business life, I said ministry because I'm kind of in this place right now. You know, when you give God your best, it costs somebody else. I said to the family before the crazy campaign, I said, who's your daddy? Not me. I'm not your daddy. You don't have a dad next few weeks. Who's your daddy? Not me. Because in this specific season, I'm not around. Because giving God my best here in this specific season, it's costing me family time. And you'll do it, go through that in your career. You'll go through that in your family life. You cannot. Certain times you have to give your family it all. And it will cost you your career advancement. You want to give your best. Whenever you give your best, it costs you on something. And so what many of us do with God is we think, well, God, I just want to give you enough so that I'm okay with you, but it doesn't cost me anything. And so if I put all this stuff on the table, you know, it's kind of like this cell phone cord. Yeah, I realize that's from yours. That's from you. And, you know, I'll be okay if you take that one. But this thing right here, no, you can't have that. Because, you know, that thing right here, when we think, oh, gosh, certainly God doesn't want that. Well, I don't know. But you have to ask yourself, maybe. Certainly God doesn't want that, because that's a thing that we've got right in the center of our life, and it's got a bell jar over it, you know. It's all protected, and we've got a little chain link fence around it with barbed wire, and we've got lasers that are pointing all around, and electronic eyes, you know, because someone gets close to that, don't touch that, you know. We're totally protecting that, because that would cost me. That would cost me. People saying, man, I don't know what I can afford. The question when you go before God and you say, speak, your servant listens, is if you can afford it, it's not costing you anything. That which you can afford is never your best. That which you can't afford, that's your best. And when you hear from God and you offer that up, it takes you to a level in your relationship that you have never gone before. And you come to realize it's not a matter of, I can't afford it. It's a matter of I can't afford not to, because I can't give to God something that costs me nothing. And I'm on the table and God has talked to me. I'm sensing His word. It's doing something in me. And when God speaks to you, He also speaks to you in your bandwidth. In your bandwidth. We go through this process. I try to go through this stuff in every part of my life. And as a church, we go through this process and everything we do here as a church, including like how we spend the money God gives us. And one of these great programming ideas we had for today, we decided not to do it, but I'll tell you what we decided we were going to do. We're going to turn off our entire sound system in here and buy 1,200 transistor radios with headsets. And you would come in and you would get a transistor radio with a headset on. And then we would broadcast the service. Everything we're doing up here would be broadcast to the FM or AM station that was on there. And you would have the opportunity to tune into whatever station you wanted. You want to tune into WEBN? You could do that. You want to tune into WLW? You could do that. You want to turn the service? You could do that. But the idea is there's a bandwidth there that you can choose to tune into if you want to. And all of us have to make that decision. Will I tune in to what God is saying to me? And God will speak to you differently than He's speaking to the person next to you. Because God is not religion, He is relationship. And relationship is about speaking to people in a unique way. There's never been a person like you before this. There's not a person like you in here. And there will never be another person like you. And great communicators who want to have a relationship communicate according to who you are. And what God will do in your life is He'll communicate according to who He's created you to be. When I first became a Christ follower, I used to get so like threatened and feel like I was such a nobody because I'd hear somebody say, well, God told me. And it's as if they were saying that God, they actually heard a voice. And people would say that. And I would go, man, I never had that happen. Am I some kind of loser? How come God's not doing that to me? Or someone tell me about some dream they had and it was so crystal clear and it was unmistakable that God had prompted this dream and communicated them. And I go, I haven't had that. Now, sometimes it was just the cheese curls that people had the night before. But a lot of times, that's how God speaks to them in their bandwidth. And then I realize, well, that's how God's speaking to them, but that doesn't mean how He's going to speak to me, because He's uniquely created me to be somebody. When for years of my life, I used to wear this thing like a badge of courage where I'd say, I treat everybody the same. I speak to everybody the same. I speak to my kids the same way I speak to my parents. I speak to, people on staff the same way I speak to my friends. I speak to people who have, no resources, same way I do people who have scads of resources. I speak to people who are introverts. And I was kind of my thought was, I want to value everybody by not playing games, so you're going to get full Brian all the time. And then I realized that wasn't very loving for people. Because everybody's different. And for me to just give the fullness of who I am the same way for everybody, I was killing people. Because people couldn't hear me within their bandwidth. And I realized I need to uniquely cater my communication for their bandwidth and who God has created them to be. That doesn't mean I become someone that I'm not. It just means I accentuate certain parts of who I am so that they understand. That's what God will do with you. That's what He'll do with you. He will use who He has created you to be able to hear Him. And if for you, it might be like I've heard people give stories of spouses pray and all of a sudden God gives them a number. And it's the exact same number. I'm like, dang, that'd be nice. Never had that happen with me. Some people do. For some people, you're in the midst of an occupational situation. And you just, but there's somebody in your life who God always speaks to you about the occupation. There's something about them. It's like, man, that person speaks. I just know it's from God. And if I were to spend time with that person, maybe it wouldn't help me at all. For some of us, it's Excel spreadsheets. God speaks to us through numbers and all that stuff. But even if we do Excel spreadsheets and God speaks to that, or no matter what your bandwidth is, you need to realize that you can make decisions according to reason or according to revelation. And reason is always that which you are comfortable with, always that which you can afford, always that which makes sense to you. It's in your bandwidth, but it's according to how I like to think and operate. Revelation is when God comes into your world and He uses whatever your bandwidth is and He actually pushes you. And He pushes you and makes you think things that you don't want to be thinking. And it's in those moments where we say, Lord, speak. Speak. Your servant listens. I'll invite the band out because I want to take some time to do this right now. A lot of us have never taken the time to be silent in community after we have processed some words that have been communicated from God in the scripture, and actually understand our bandwidth. Some of us have never taken the time to actually stop and say, God, will you speak? And so I'd like to do it right now. And I'm going to really just do a little prayer exercise. And if you want to, if you don't have to do it, but if you want to, you just sit there and be silent, look down. You can do even something might help you. Is, you know, God, I want to hear from you. And so what I like to do sometimes, I want to hear from God. Sometimes I take my palms like this. And I'll go like this and say, God, I'd like to hear from you. If you want to, fall anything down on me, you want to tell me anything, I've got my hands open and I'm ready to hear from you. Maybe God right now might say something to you. Let's ask him. God, there is, I don't know how many lives in here, 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, whatever, lives in here who are unique lives with unique situations. We've got unique things at work. We've got unique things being out of work. We have unique things in our marriage. We have unique things in our new divorce. We have unique things in our hope to be married someday. We have unique things in our never want to be married ever. We have unique things in every single thing. We have unique things in our financial life. We have unique things in our recreational life. We are all unique here. But many of us want to say to you in all humility in these areas, speak. Speak. Your servants listen. Speak. Speak to us.